All right, we're studying Philippians, so let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, third chapter of Philippians. And as I'm sure you're aware, the Apostle Paul is writing as the Holy Spirit directs, so that we know that he's recording the very words that God wants us to read. So let's read that. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, and we'll start at verse number 4. The Bible says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. All right, so if the New Testament is correct, and I believe that it is, Satan's great work in our day is not the building of bar rooms to promote drunkenness. The flesh is going to take care of that. Satan's great work in our day is not the explosion of methamphetamine labs and date rape drugs or cocaine trafficking. That drug trade, that's not Satan's major means of attack. With all the perversion, all the lewd and vile behavior that surrounds us, even that, as offensive as it is to decent people, it's not Satan's great work. According to the New Testament scriptures, following the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Satan got religion. You ever hear that term? Well, so-and-so got religion. Well, Satan got religion when Jesus rose from the dead. See, the Bible says when Jesus rose from the dead that he had conquered sin and death and hell. And Revelation chapter 1 makes that clear. He had rendered the devil powerless. The Bible says in Colossians 2:15 that Jesus spoiled principalities and powers. The Bible says in Matthew 28:18 that Jesus triumphed openly over Satan and all his hosts. So Satan, he once had the power of death, but now all power, according to Matthew 28, all power is given to the Lord Jesus Christ. So after Jesus rose from the dead, the devil found himself to be a big, bad boogeyman with no weapons left in his arsenal. You read rapidly of the decline of devil possession and unclean spirits as the book of Acts runs its course. Where the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ arrives on the scene, those devils clear out. And Satan quickly found that he needed another method of operation if he was going to continue to drag souls into the fires of hell. And so quickly, Satan began establishing religion. And I'm not talking about Buddhist religion or Mohammedan religion. I don't mean the anti-Christian religions. I mean religions that bear the name of Jesus Christ. If you go back and find the oldest and earliest writings of those men who lived in the first century after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, men, strangely enough, called church fathers, when Jesus said, call no man on earth your father in Matthew 23:9, about 70 years after Jesus rose from the dead, not long after the last of the apostles had been buried, men in the church who called themselves fathers were teaching that water baptism could get you to heaven. They were teaching that sacramentalism and rituals could get you to heaven. They were teaching that doing good deeds in Jesus' name could get you to heaven. And suddenly we find, as 2 Corinthians chapter 11 warned us, that Satan had become an angel of light, and his devils had become ministers. And the warning went out from the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 20, to beware of leaders among you in the church, leaders that would turn you away from simple faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That is the devil's work right there. The Apostle Paul, he stands in Philippians chapter 3, and he says, to all who would seek to gain heaven by religion, to all who would seek to gain heaven by good works, that if anybody, and the Holy Spirit is the one that recorded these words as being true, if anybody could get to heaven by being religious, it would be Paul. He says, I am more religious than you, and my religion is more acceptable to God than yours is. He said, if anybody could get to heaven by good works, he would be the one. He said that he does more good works than you do. He said, if anybody could earn heaven by their own righteousness, he would be the recipient of that place in heaven because he is more righteous than you are. That's what he said. And the Holy Spirit has those words put in the Bible as truth. Now, if you know a man that said these things and these things were not true, that would be as great a sin as a person could commit. What is more offensive to God than pride and self-righteousness? And the only thing worse than pride and self-righteousness is bragging in God's name. But Paul, he stands up and says, I've got the right religion. God only gave one religion. Did you know that? God only gave one religion in all of history. And that was the ordinances that he gave to the Jew on Mount Sinai with specific instructions as how to worship him and how to live before him and how to sacrifice to him. And nobody else in the world got that from God, only the Hebrews. And so Paul said, that's my religion. So if you have any other religion, and I have the one religion given by God, well, I'm ahead of, I'm leading, okay, one to nothing. Now, if you were going to line up two religious people in a race and bet on them, okay, the Apostle Paul is the one on whom you must put your money according to the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Okay, how about that? That's pretty amazing, you know. If you can line these two people up, okay, let's take Moses and Paul, put them side by side. You put your money on Paul. Paul and David, side by side, put your money on Paul. Paul and Peter, Paul and your pastor, your priest, your rabbi, your minister, Paul and Brother Bob, Paul and any one of you. Paul is going to win. The Apostle Paul said he was the most fruitful performer of religion who has ever graced this earth, and that his religion was the right one, the best one. And he said in verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. That's what he said. He said, I've got more reason to put confidence in my flesh than you have to put confidence in your flesh. You've been baptized. He's got more than you. You've got perfect attendance in Sunday school. He's got more than you. You gave money to the Lord. He's got more than you. You do good deeds. He's ahead of you. You're faithful at church. You haven't caught him yet. The Holy Spirit had Paul write down, I am better than you are. I am more spiritual than you are. I am more dedicated than you are. I am more diligent than you are. I am more consistent than you are. I am the best religious man that has ever lived. And he would have died and gone to hell without Jesus Christ. Verse 5, he says, circumcised the eighth day. Well, God commanded that. Way before the law, back there with Abraham, God's friend, God's chosen man, the father of God's chosen race, Abraham was given by God the sign, the seal of circumcision. And that separated them from the Hindus, the Mohammedans, the Confucianists, the white man, the black man, the Oriental man. That man, that family of Abraham, that Hebrew family, separate and distinct, chosen and set apart by God. And Paul says, I am of that people. And if you're not, I'm ahead of you, 2-0. Verse 5, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. All right, so several things there. Paul said, well, all of the Israelites were God's people, but the two southern tribes stayed true to God, and I am one of them. I'm one of them, the true ones. All the Hebrews had God's law. The Pharisees held on to the law and held true to the law, and I am one of them. However, the Pharisees, they said, they would say, but they didn't do. You understand, but Paul, he was different. He not only said, but he did. He did. So he says, my religion is better than yours. My race is better than yours. My tribe within the race is better than the others. My sect within the tribe is better than the others. And my obedience to the teachings of that sect is better than the obedience of the others who adhered to those teachings in that sect. He's the finest religious man who ever lived. And then the Bible says in verse number 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. You say, now, wait a minute, how can that be good? Well, it's simple. If you know the Bible, it's simple. Because God's law said in Deuteronomy chapter 13, and you ought to read that, his law said that if a man showed up among the Israelite people and claimed to be sent from God, don't go after him unless he can prove that God sent him by working miracles. But even if he works miracles, and then he tells you that you don't have to keep the law of Moses, don't go after him. And Deuteronomy chapter 13 says, this man and anybody who follows him is to be put to death. That's what it says. So Jesus Christ showed up and he said, I am God and I am changing the rules. You are not to follow Moses anymore, but you are to trust me. So listen to me. If he is just a man, you are bound by the law to kill him and all his followers if you're a Jew. Okay, that's what the Old Testament scripture said. So when Jesus came and wrought miracles, and Jesus told the people they didn't need the law of Moses, but they needed him, Saul of Tarsus, Apostle Paul, the Pharisee, he said, we're supposed to kill those people according to God's law. And the rest of the Pharisees and the rest of the religious leaders of the nation, they were compromisers. They were unwilling to go to such extremes. But not Paul. He was zealously committed to obeying God's law. He didn't care what you thought. He didn't care what public opinion was. He didn't care what their peer pressure was dictating. He just stood up and said, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, We must kill these Christians. That's how zealous he was for his God-given religion. Now, of course, when he found out on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9 that Jesus Christ was God, and as God, he could set aside Moses and make grace through faith in the finished cross work of Jesus Christ, the way of salvation. As God, he could do that. And as soon as Paul recognized Jesus as God, he repented of his sin and of persecuting the church, and he was made a brand new man. Now let's go to another place in the Bible to back this up. Turn to Romans chapter 9. If one thing is absolutely clear from Philippians chapter 3, it is that you cannot be saved by keeping the law, because Paul kept it and he was not saved. He couldn't be saved without faith in God. Romans chapter 9, verse number 31. But Israel, okay, that would be Paul, which followed after the law of righteousness, okay, that's Paul, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Okay, why is that? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. All right, so look what God said. Back in the Old Testament times, Israel had the law, and they were looking at that law, and they were trying to be righteous by keeping that law, and they fell flat on their face. They got up, got their eyes back on that law, tried to be righteous, and they fell flat on their face. And Romans 9 says what happened is that they just kept looking at that law and didn't realize that they were falling all over the Lord. No matter how many times he brought them down, they never turned their attention to him. They got back up and turned their eyes on that law. And one day Saul of Tarsus was going down that Damascus road, and he met Jesus Christ, and he put his eyes on him. Okay, whosoever believeth on him. And that changed everything for Paul. Romans chapter 10, continuing on here, verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Sound familiar? If anybody would recognize zeal for God, it would be Paul, because he had it. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So there's something they don't know. Philippians 3:8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Okay, so these people have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Okay, you know what the Israelite nation had? They had the law, and they were zealous for the law. They had commandments. They were zealous for the commandments. But God himself, they weren't so keen on him. They tripped and fell right over him because they never knew him. They knew his rules. They knew his regulations. They knew his ordinances, but they didn't know him. They could have. They could have. Verse 3, Romans 10:3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. Paul had the righteousness that came by keeping the law. He went as far as a person could go keeping the law, but knew that would only get him to hell. Paul knew that. When he found the righteousness that God imparts to a man solely on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ, he had to abandon all hope in the righteousness that came by keeping the law and put full and complete hope in the righteousness that God gives to those that trust Jesus Christ. And when he trusted God's righteousness and not his own righteousness, that's when he found salvation in Jesus Christ. Verse 5, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So just to sum that all up, the Holy Spirit took this man, Paul, and had him say to you, say to me, I was as righteous as a religious man could be, but it wasn't good enough for God. And one day I put my faith and my trust in God through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And man, when I look at that righteousness compared to the righteousness I had by keeping the law, I just abandoned every shred of confidence I ever had in myself. And I have opted to depend wholly and completely on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. All right, so there you have it. How about it then? Are you still trying to be good enough to get to heaven? Or have you trusted Jesus Christ and him alone? In Galatians 3, verse 10, the Bible says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. You say, I'm a good person. Okay, but you're under the curse. You say, I've never done this, I've never done that, but you're under the curse. God set the requirement. No church on earth sets the requirement, you understand? No religion can set this requirement. God requires that the only way you can get to heaven is through the perfect, sinless, spotless, ever pure, ever holy, never failing righteousness of Jesus Christ. Nobody else measures up, never will. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Black, white, red, yellow, brown, cursed. Male, female, cursed. Shinto, Buddhist, Mohammedan, Catholic, Protestant, Baptist, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, atheist, agnostic, cursed if you don't do all things written in the book of the law. So that's everybody. That's everybody. Galatians 3, verse number 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. Okay, so where's the evidence then? The evidence is nobody keeps the law. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Okay, now look, verse 13 now. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So here it is. Jesus Christ is willing to trade his righteousness for your faith, for your faith. If you will stop trusting your own righteousness and put your trust in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, God will save you. Not on your merits, but on the merits of Jesus Christ. Not by your good works, but by the good work of Jesus Christ. Not by your law keeping, but by the perfect obedience of his Son, Jesus Christ, to the law. I hope you heard that. I hope you hear this. Before you try, before you make any attempt to be a good person, let me tell you that the Bible says you can never be good enough. Before you make any effort to earn heaven by your deeds, I must tell you, as a minister of God's word, your deeds will never earn you a place in heaven. That's not my opinion. That's what God says in his word. And if the best man, the most religious man, the most faithful man who ever lived, gave you his testimony, and he said, on my best day, I was not good enough. Friends, you got to know, on your best day, you will never be good enough. So there's two options, and only two. Die in your sin and end up in hell, or trust Jesus Christ and him alone. And by trusting Jesus Christ and him alone, God will give you the righteousness that is needed to be saved by virtue of your faith in his grace. Amen. What a Savior. What a wonderful thing that is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that when we stopped trusting in ourselves, we had a Savior to look at, to put our faith in that was perfect, that was able to pay our sin debt. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, and we pray in his name. Amen.